Hi, I'm Crash. We're recording Circulus. This is take two, because the recording screwed up because of me. With me today are some awesome people. We have Chris playing Vexarin, a half-elf ranger. He's on AzerothCTC.com. You should check it out. We have Jen playing Meepo, a kobold sorcerer. She's on BookofJen.net, and she streams on Twitch with Queen Haiku. You could check that out as well. We also have Matt, who's playing Aristobulus, a human wizard. He doesn't stream, and he doesn't have a website, but he's awesome. So, those are our three people. Everyone else is AFK doing awesome things. With that said, we're going to back up and repeat what we backed up to talk about before, but no one heard. But we're going to go through it quickly. All right. So, in our last episode, something large, white, with a stinger on his tail flew past and killed a bunch of Modrons that were monodrone Modrons in particular, the spheres with eyes and wings. That were working on Fiddlepunch's tower. He doesn't know why. That was part of some exposition that went on. Killed a bunch of them, flew away. Ari's amulet freaked out and would really like to leave. Ari would like to leave the amulet, but he'd also like to leave. So they're deciding to book it. Okay, so that backed up and went over 11 minutes of stuff in about a minute.
Nicely done.
Yes.
Whew. Okay, moving on. And this is going to be great for anyone who listens to the podcast at double speed. It's just going to be... Might want to slow that one down for a little bit.
Yeah. All right, so Ari is ready to leave. Meepo, come along, please. Yep, well, he'll take his 10 minutes to do his ritual magic horse, and we will leave Dodge City.
Okay, before you leave, Fiddle Punch does let you know that he's been continuing to track the other focal points. The one that was in Fred's tower is gone. Right. He cannot track it anymore. His best guess is that it has been placed in some extra-dimensional space, like a portable hole or a bag of holding or a haversack or any of the various methods of storing things.
Right.
If that's the case, then he might not be able to track it. That would shield it, if only because he tested it out when the one that you brought him from from the salt mine. That one, when it was in Ponk's portable hole, the detection device that he gave you wouldn't detect it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I wanted to make sure we passed along that Thaba, I think that's her name, stole it. Or acquired it as we were being distracted by Fred, the Red Dragon. And I believe she's probably hiding it in some sort of extra dimensional space. I mean, that makes the most sense. It blocks a lot of divination and location magic very easily. Heck, a bag of holding would do it, or a haversack, you're right. So she took it from the dragon's lair while we were dealing with the dragon. And so now she has it. I'm not sure what use she intends with it. She also now manages to have a adamantine dirigible. I don't know if that means.
Hold on. Galen Kaldor's adamantine dirigible?
I see you know the gnome.
I know of him. The dirigible was top notch. I was kind of hoping that I would be able to work with him through some type of correspondence for getting my telescopes up higher. I eventually decided on a rocket propelled version, but that's neither here nor there.
Well, yeah, I actually got in to pilot the adamantine dirigible for a moment or two and sort of figured out how to make it stop moving, but other circumstances with giants forced me to abandon that plan, and Thaba piloted off with it.
I am indeed quite grateful that you are alive.
Oh, thank you. I am too. I
know you. Not everyone who's piloted it has survived.
To be fair, I was not piloting it for very long. It was extremely complicated. Even the pilot or the creator of himself was surprised.
And by the way, as soon as you started talking about Thaba, both Galen and Vex suddenly had a very strong compulsion to start swearing. They don't know why.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I may have snapped a pencil.
Vex invents a pencil and then snaps it.
No, I mean in real life, I may have snapped a pencil.
Wow.
I love this game so much.
So be on the lookout for a dragonborn with great magic at her disposal. What color was she?
Green.
Green, okay. just like Meepo's kind of elder cousin, almost.
Kinda. But I'm not a dragonborn.
She was a dragonborn, and the Fenix Fenix has them worshiping himself.
technically, he's a cleric of Bahamut.
Yeah. Okay. He has them worshiping the Great One.
Well, Paladin. Well, Bahamut, but still.
Yeah.
Well, the kobolds think he's a great one.
Well, yeah, the ones that are here think he's a great one.
The ones that are here, he's pretty great. That's the ones that are helping him.
Well, your clan, but
my clan, yes.
There could be others.
Maybe. We'll
find out. All right, I have no more further. I have no further information to impart to Fiddlepunch.
All right. So you finish your 10-minute ritual. You get your magical steed.
Yep.
And you ride across the countryside. For some reason, you hear a tune in your head. You don't know why that popped in. Maybe a bard sang it at some point. I don't know. All right. And I'm assuming you go to the farm, or do you go somewhere else?
Yeah, we'll head back to the farm. I have no real information to deal with either Idris Fervid or Ardent at the moment. So.
Okay. So when you get to the farm, Ponk is still not back from his weekly poker game. Which is a bit more fitting now that we're missing two players due to a poker game.
That's true.
Yes. Well, I don't know if Logan's actually playing in the game. It might just be that family's over, so he's hanging out with them. But Eric is hosting it. So I'm hoping they're having lots of fun. Hanging out with family usually is. So I do not blame them at all for that. And it's going to make tonight's session that much more interesting.
Yeah.
Especially if I get to say roll for initiative.
Let's not hear that.
to try my new longbow.
Okay.
Okay.
Vex? We'll see.
Okay. But Vex is still on the farm. Okay. And so are Ross and Jackson.
Jackson.
Yes. Jackson is doing his best to patrol the farm. It's quite a hike around it. There's a lot to patrol, but he does a fairly decent job of walking in a relatively straight line in a giant rectangular shape around the edge. You're not quite sure how effective that is because anyone can see him coming from a long way away. He is considered a large creature, and he's a suit of armor made with fire.
He stands out a bit.
Yeah, he does stand out a bit. He's outstanding in Vex's field.
Yeah.
Granted, he probably does scare away a lot of the peasants.
Well, there aren't many solicitors that come by.
No. We don't get many visitors here.
No.
Vex is
quite okay with that.
Vex and Ponk would both be okay with that.
and Ross likes to help out any way he can. He just loves hanging out with all the various animals. And he doesn't feed them anymore after the incident with the hay. But
yeah. No, he's not allowed anywhere near the hay anymore.
You did manage to put the fire out.
Just.
And most of the wool on those sheep will grow back.
Yeah, but that's a lot of wool that we could have sold.
Wool doesn't burn very well. It mostly smolders. But that's another story. And you ate well for a few nights.
Yeah, sure.
Thanks is tending to the fire.
Okay. Okay, so the three of you arrive, and it's getting close to supper time.
Sounds good.
Okay. The cake is gone.
Well, of course it's gone. We did pay a whole platinum for it.
Well, this is the next day after Meepo's impromptu birthday party. So, and this was carried around in a wheelbarrow, and then most of it was given to a clan of kobolds. So at this point, the wagon has been washed out. The wheelbarrow has been washed out a bit. And it's being used for farm work, like it was probably originally meant to be used for, as opposed to carrying baked goods.
I just realized with Vex having to do a lot of manual labor, the ogre gauntlets are going to help with that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you
need
are
to plow that field. To heck with the cow! I'll just push the plow myself.
Yeah. Oh,
the parts of the farm that are meant for sowing and harvesting crops have pretty much remained fallow this season. This farm was the residents of this farm died in the initial waves of attacks. And you bought the farm in mid-late summer. So at that point, you were well past the planting stage.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not going to be... I don't know how much harvesting we'll get done before fall.
We're essentially just refurbishing the thing, making sure that we can be ready for the next
refertilizing
harvest.
It.
Yeah. You'll be able to plant next season, to be sure, and there are livestock on the farm also.
Oh, good.
This is one of those farms where it's not designed for just one thing. The people who owned this before did not put all their eggs in one basket, so to speak.
They were smart.
My proficiency in nature will actually come in handy for a change.
Ironically, the ranger isn't proficient in nature.
That's awesome, actually.
I'm just imagining...
knows all about how to make the farm work, and yet the ranger, who spends most of the time away from the city...
I am a stealthy SOB, okay?
Yeah.
Cut to a scene where, theoretically, Vex has rolled a 1 on a check, and he's just staring at a cow, and the cow is staring back at him, and he's staring at the cow, and the cow is staring back at him, and he's staring at the cow, and the cow is staring back at him. He's just like,
what are you?
Do cow stuff.
And then we pan back just a little bit. And, come on, Vex would know it's a cow. I mean, I'm not going to make you forget basic knowledge of ABC books from growing up. Yeah. From a 1. But we just pan back a little bit and see that Vex is holding a bucket. And clearly he was intending to milk the cow, but he doesn't know how to approach without getting kicked. And he's not sure he wants to go through with the process even without getting kicked.
Okay.
That's just awesome.
I need to get a nature expertise. I need to get that sorted. Goblin druid might happen.
Vex levels up to level 6, picks favorite enemy livestock. Which would give you a lot of proficiency bonuses for rolling against them. But let's not do that. Okay.
You were safe.
So, yes. So you have a nice evening repast. And as you're wrapping up, you hear knock, knock. Now, the first thing is, this is a bit odd because you don't hear someone knocking at the door. You hear someone say knock, knock.
Somebody's here.
I will answer the door.
Go ahead.
Okay. One of us will answer the door.
One of us will answer the door.
You see Fervid Idris.
Fervid Idris, come in.
He looks exactly as he did the last time you saw him, Ari, but he is standing under his own power. However, give me a perception check, all three of you.
Okay. I have a 10.
18.
Well, that's not great. 5 and 6 with the advantage.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's not... this is not going to go well, but my perception is... where is it? 4. So that's a 10.
I have a 10.
Okay.
18. But I don't think I saw... Meepo didn't go see him before, so...
I'm assuming Vex has seen him while they've been away.
Yeah, you have seen him at least in passing.
Right, but not when, you know...
You've been in the same room with him on a few occasions, Vex. In particular, when you chased that beetle of fiddle punches through the keep, it landed in the room that had both of the Idrises in there. So you've met him before. The last time you saw him, he looked a lot better. Mm-hmm. But last time, Meepo went
to go hang out with Ellie. She didn't go see him.
No.
Yeah, Meepo has not seen him before, so you don't know him from anyone else.
Well, wait,
Ari
no,
and
I
Vex
think,
recognize him.
No, I thought. Wait, I thought she was introduced to him.
No, she knows. Well, she knows
know
Ellie's dad, Arden.
Oh,
Idris,
okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Fervid is Arden's dad. Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, Meepo does not know who. Gotcha.
Yeah, you know of him, but you've not met him.
Okay.
So
got it.
So with that background out of the way.
Sorry.
Ari's focused on his dinner. Or too focused on it.
And Ari, you're kind of surprised to see him standing here. He was bedridden when you saw him before. You don't go from bedridden to walking around that quickly.
No. Well, we were gone a day or two. But yeah, there's no way he should recover that quickly.
No, not at all. Especially if the town is already in pre-mourning, knowing that he's dying. Meepo, you're just like, who's this guy at the door?
Yeah.
Vex... You know how when someone isn't being very honest, but they're not being very good at lying. You can see right through them. You can, as you open the door and you see Fervid standing there, you see Ross running in the background through the chest of Fervid. Like, you look through his chest like a window, and you see Ross in the distance running. He's chasing Shepard, who has Ross's arm again.
So he's transparent or translucent?
Translucent. And he says, may I come in?
I will get up. Will I notice the same transparency, or does he look different?
Well, you rolled a 10.
Yeah, I did.
So, no, you do not notice that he's translucent.
Oh, okay. Not yet. All right, then I will. Please come in, Lord Fervid.
Thank you. And he walks over to the table and he says, mind if I sit down? And he does not wait for you to answer. He pulls a chair out for himself. But at that point, you do notice when he pulls the chair out, what actually happens is when he grabs onto the chair and pulls back to make room for himself to sit down, the chair stays there. But there is another ghostly version of the chair that moves back, and he sits down on that.
Gotcha.
So we are all seeing this?
You are all seeing this.
Okay.
Did I make a boo-boo by inviting a ghost into the house, or is that just vampires?
No, I invited him in. But that's
you say that out loud.
I didn't notice he was a ghost.
Hello, Mr. Ghost.
No. I think Akari was or Chris was asking him.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Boo-boo.
Yeah.
Does Meepo say hello, Mr. Ghost?
Mm-hmm. Hello, Mr. Ghost.
He chuckles at that. No, little one. I'm not a ghost. Oh. I will probably never be a ghost. More's the pity.
Think you have any fear of the unknown or passing on.
Oh. Sorry, I just clicked what he asked.
In fact, I do have a great fear of that, which is, in fact, why I'm here to talk to you.
Indeed.
I need
Please,
your help.
Continue.
I need you to kill me.
Say
what now?
Couldn't hear it.
I did. I just wanted to make sure I heard what he said.
I did not hear it.
More specifically, I need you to make sure I stay dead.
The zombie plague is done. We've dealt with that.
No.
It's why I'm dying.
What did you do?
In my research, I had to learn a great many things that were very troubling. Spells that I would never dare cast. Rituals that, if I had the power to, I would find every copy and burn unceremoniously.
With this, we are in somewhat of agreement. There are things that man was not meant to know.
I agree. I also discovered how to prolong my life, in a sense. A modification of the process that one might use to become a lich.
I knew it.
Most liches will maintain themselves with souls that they feed into their phylactery. This is something that I would never do. Instead, I found a means to siphon the miasma that was creating the zombie plague to begin with. In my arrogance, I thought that if I was able to use it up some way, it would make the undead stop rising. It didn't serve that purpose, unfortunately. But it did provide a way for me to live a lot longer than I should have and continue my research. I'm sorry?
And now there's none of the miasma left.
Which is fantastic.
But that's why you're dying, because you have no food to keep you going.
Give me an insight check.
Can I get in on that?
Anyone can.
Sure. All right. Insight. I have an 18.
Natural 19 plus 2.
I rolled a 14 plus 4 for 18 total.
All three of you see that he is visibly repulsed by the idea of calling the miasma food.
Well, energy. Your energy's gone. Whatever you use to keep you going is no longer viable, and that's why you're dying.
And when I first made the transformation, I thought of it as a failsafe. If the plague was ever ended, my need for having my life prolonged would be gone, and no arrogance on my part would keep me alive. My purpose would be done, and I would be gone so long as my kingdom
was safe. You would have sacrificed yourself to stop the miasma. Yes, I see the logic in your theory, because if you cure the disease, then you're no longer needed.
and I would happily go into that dark night.
But something's gone wrong, hasn't it?
What do you know of demi-liches?
What do I know of demi-liches?
Yeah, what do we know of demi-liches?
Give me an arcana check, or a, if you prefer, if you don't have a high arcana, a history check at disadvantage.
I can't imagine Nepo would know any of this.
Mine's is blank on both, and I rolled a 9, so I don't know, Jack.
Well, I'm good on arcana. I rolled a 15, add 10, 25.
All right, so you already knew that thing about liches needing souls to power their phylacteries to keep their undeath going.
Right.
A lich that doesn't do this. You know, sometimes a lich might stick around so long that they get a little brain addled and they don't remember to keep putting souls into the phylactery, similar to someone forgetting, like, did we pay the power bill this month? the lights are off.
Actually, have that happen to them.
Well, a demi-lich is not the same as a lich. A demi-lich is not conscious. It has no memory of its life. It pretty much exists to destroy any life that encounters it. A lich that chooses to planar travel, similar to if you're familiar with the current campaign setting that involves a Sararak, that's what he did, actually. His body became a demi-lich, and he went off to travel the planes as a spirit. Programmed his demi-lich, what was left of his body, which is just a skull now with some gems for eyes, to feed souls into the phylactery to power him anytime someone stumbles across what his remains. It's basically a trap.
Yeah.
But if the person, if the lich doesn't plan for that, if they don't design that, and they turn into a demi-lich, they just sit around killing anything that comes near it.
Right. Mindless killing machines. Except that they can't move. They just wait for living things to wander into their lair and then devour them.
Yeah. And they're still powered by the phylactery. They don't have as much power. They're on power saving mode.
Right.
So they don't have as much power, but they're maintained anyway. And if you destroy a demi-lich, the phylactery still regenerates it. Unless you destroy the phylactery.
Phylactery, right. And that's always the tricky part. So, that said,
ask the question.
Yeah, where is your phylactery?
Where else would it be? I've already told you the source of my power.
Well, that was the miasma. I'm not following this.
100 years ago, when I first discovered how to siphon the miasma, I built a crematorium.
Oh, got it.
Oh.
And if it's the fire elementals can't really hurt it, can they?
The entire crematorium is not the phylactery. Only part of it is.
But a phylactery doesn't have to be very big.
No, it doesn't. It can be incredibly small. Mine is just large enough for my body to regenerate inside of it. Something that I haven't really had to do very often. That said, he's not my son.
Ardent is.
Grandson, great-grandson.
Yes.
Several generations passed.
I am Ardrant Idris. When my son died of natural causes, I was already pushing the limits of believability for how long a human can live. So I altered self a little bit. The family resemblance was already there and assumed his place. And I did that again when Fervid died of a heart attack 10 years ago. That said, I've lost my train of thought as DM.
Yeah.
He's becoming a demi-lich.
Right.
Well,
he wants
us
to...
I, the DM, have left my train of thought.
I know, I'm just joking.
The DM's becoming a demi-lich.
That said, Ardent, if he was willing to accept my wishes and have my body be the last thing destroyed in the crematorium before he dismantled it, I would not need to be here. I would not need to project myself to you now. My physical body is still in bed. My son watches me like a hawk. It was a risk even to do this. I do not want him to know what I have been. I do not want him to think there is any part of our family that is stained. If he was willing to destroy the crematorium, my phylactery would be gone. But he is so tied to tradition and what he assumes the people will want that he will let it remain. And then anyone who comes near it will be at risk when what remains of me becomes a demi-lich and houses itself inside the crematorium.
Crematorium, yeah. So we need to stop you from devolving into the Demi-Lich. We need to potentially disassemble the crematorium. And
not the whole thing.
Or, well, enough, the parts necessary, which...
What's given, the important
part? Huh? Yeah. Well, that's actually a good question. Yeah.
What part in the crematorium is the important part of the phylactery? What do we need to actually
do with it? Well, Ari could probably also use Detect Magic to find it. Phylacteries would probably, or even...
The entire crematorium shines like a beacon.
Yeah, the whole thing is a magical construct, but...
Yes, which is why no one suspected. It's why no one found it, because they assumed a crematorium made by wizards empowered by fire elementals.
Fire elementals would radiate magic out the wazoo.
Yes, exactly.
Which emphasizes the point of Taylor's which part is the important
part. Yeah.
And he's ready to do that as soon as you stop arguing back and forth.
It's the player's sort of arguing, too, because there's two ways I can think that we could find it if need be. I'm not sure how well Obame could do it.
He waves his hand, and a small scale model of the crematorium appears on the dinner table.
There we go.
There we go.
Give us some answers.
Point us what you need us to do.
Imagine a scene from Episode 4 of Star Wars when they're showing you the plans of the Death Star and where to fly in.
Right.
Okay.
Only it's a crematorium. Now, the crematorium is a long building. It somewhat resembles the type of oven that may have been used in the 1600s, 1700s for baking bread and stuff. It's got a rounded top to it, and a giant door in one end that can be adjusted for either opening the whole thing if you have a lot of bodies you need to dispose of at once, or having a smaller opening for if it's a private ceremony or a single cremation that's being done with a ceremony and whatnot. At the center of the top of this, a rectangle appears and glows with a red line, and then that rectangle lifts up. And this is apparently Ardent the First, not Fervid, because now you know his real name. Is doing this to show you where the secret door is. It's an out-of-the-way place. Most people don't climb on top of the crematorium, and it's fairly well hidden so that the average person wouldn't be looking for it there anyway. It's not designed to open from the outside, so you might have to find a way to force it open in some way. I have a feeling you'd be able to do that. Once you have it open, almost any damage to the interior walls should be enough to crack the seal and break it and ruin its use as a phylactery.
But not as a crematorium?
The crematorium funnels the miasma into that space, but there's no miasma left.
Right. So it's firing blanks.
And he doesn't know what that means. Yeah. Technically, neither do you. Even though you have a gun now.
Right, yeah. He does have that.
He's dry firing.
Pretty much. In all honesty, I'm surprised that I'm weakening this fast. The final battle infused me with a great deal of energy I expected to last another season. I expected to have some type of plan in place to do this myself. Unfortunately, it is very hard to try to cut off your own head.
You went from a constant stream of energy to nothing.
Right.
You're in withdrawal.
That's one way of looking at it, yes.
And he quit cold turkey, as it were.
We have always had spurts where there would be a lot of miasma harvested or none at all. I got used to the ebb and flow, understanding how much my power would surge or reduce itself. This is happening faster than I thought it would. It's possible that whatever miasma was already absorbed in me is already dissipating at an increased rate because there is no source.
That fits.
How well guarded is this area?
Barely at all at this point. There'll be a few guards that run a patrol every 15 minutes or so.
I can get into that spot without a problem. Sneak in there, no problem.
What about any magical wards or protection?
You don't need to worry about those.
Will you handle it?
I've already handled it.
Excellent. So, what we perhaps need is a distraction for Lord Ardent the Fourth.
Third.
third.
Oh, I assure you, he is distracted.
Well, what happens to you once we destroy that phylactery? Will you pass on? And
not instantly. What it does is it does power me, to be sure, but it's like a funnel. It sends the energy to me. It's not doing that currently because there's nothing to send. Destroying it won't end me instantly. It will prevent any part of me from regenerating after I am gone. Once that's destroyed, I'm technically already dead. I'll simply stop pretending to breathe.
And he will then carry out your burial, and you will not rematerialize around the phylactery.
Question.
Yes.
The area where the phylactery is, you said that there's obviously something that won't open from the outside. I have to break it open. The actual inside of that, how big is it?
And about the size of a coffin.
Okay. And would, say, a fireball being thrown in there do enough damage to break things and all that?
He chuckles a little bit at that, and he looks over at Ari. You might want to explain to him about fire elementals.
Yeah. They're not going to be bothered by that at all.
The crematorium was built to withstand fire. You're not going to destroy this thing with fire damage.
Yeah. No. Lightning, cold, acid, all good. Fire.
A hammer and a chisel.
Flayed up bludgeoning
sufficient.
Be okay?
Yes. Yeah, probably that would be fine. Bludgeoning is probably the best bet, although I can't see slashing or piercing not necessarily working any worse.
I can probably...
If that angry gnome friend of yours was here, he would probably be able to finish it very quickly.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, I think I'm as strong as him right now.
You are technically stronger than him at this point.
Stronger? Yeah. Okay, wow.
Yeah. By one point.
I can probably get this done. I can sneak in with the stealthiness, break down that wall, and just punch stuff.
I could make you invisible, too, for an hour, which should give you plenty of...
And I also have Pass Without a Trace, which for an hour.
And stealth and advantage. Yeah, if you can't get in and out of there in an hour and not take care of this, I'd be horribly surprised.
Is this the plan?
I don't see a problem with it, actually, no.
It might work.
Provided that what he says is true, that there's no magical protection, and I trust
not
him
anymore.
To take care of it. Not anymore. Great.
I dissipated them a month ago.
And your grandson hasn't noticed that. But as you said, he's been distracted by your death.
The wards on the phylactery I dissipated.
Right.
There's plenty of wards on the crematorium as a whole. Everything with the phylactery was hidden in plain view because everyone who examined the crematorium saw those shining much brighter.
The crematorium or the not the phylactery pieces.
Yeah. Far away from
it's sort of like if you have a red sheet of cloth,
right,
and there is a single thread in that red sheet of cloth that is a slightly darker red.
Yeah,
you're not gonna notice it unless you're taking a magnifying glass to it.
But under a different light, that thread, if it's a gold or copper thread above cloth, under a different light would shine out like a sore thumb.
True, but everything about this was meant to deal with the miasma.
Right, and to conceal his phylactery. So
it's mostly all using the same magics.
Right.
So you wouldn't see it.
Right. No, I get it. It's if we didn't know where to look, we wouldn't find it.
Needle in a haystack made of needles.
Right. Nobody else knows to look for it because they've never, you know, all they see is this blinding aura of, you know, conjuration magic or whatever, and maybe a tiny bit of necromancy, but you might attribute that to, hey, this thing actually destroys a lot of bodies. There might be a little necromantic, you know, leftover, as
and
it were.
You hear a voice. You hear a voice say, sort of like how you assumed I was demonic just because the person who controlled me last summoned demons.
Yeah, I'll ignore that for now.
Hot kettle black.
Yeah. So far, all I've done is have him modify a cantrip, so I'm not too deep in the hole yet.
How far away from the town is the farm?
5 days.
You could
4 days.
No, much faster. You could, you could make the trip there and back tonight, assuming that all you got to do is climb to the top of the phylactery with a pickaxe or a hammer and chisel and smashy smashy.
Okay. I could give him, I mean, I have a couple of spells that might aid you. For example, fly, spider climb, haste.
The climbing isn't going to be a problem.
He's going to be super vex.
Wait, I need something to actually break it, though.
May I make a suggestion?
Please.
You live on a farm.
Oh, well, yeah. We probably have some kind of implement.
There's probably something around that I can grab.
You have kinds of tools.
Yeah, mallet, hammer.
There's even a small blacksmith's forge.
Yeah,
Jen, what are you saying?
A shovel.
So wait. If the idea is to open the thing and you have to open it from the inside, can't we just use your hand and open it?
No, you have to open it from the outside.
You can open it from the inside, but it's harder to get to the inside. I can just rip the thing open.
Yeah, your current strength should allow that.
Okay.
And if you have something like a pry bar or a crowbar or something, you can probably do it, yeah.
Probably have something like that laying around the farm.
Like I said.
Yeah, and you could use the crowbar as an improvised
snack. Go and look for you have a crowbar.
Have
there
a crowbar.
We go. Don't have to look for a crowbar. Meeple, can I have your crowbar, darling?
Okay, here you go.
Thank you, honey. You're wonderful.
Thank you. I try.
I was going to add that so I remember I actually have the thing.
And I'll take it out of my inventory and give it back.
I will forget.
That's even all this said, I think Meepo and I should go along in
100%.
Case our plan does not go according to plan.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
What do you mean? Nothing bad ever happens when you split the party.
You guys should come along. When it goes to the stealthiness, I'll break off and do that. And if anything bad happens, I will scream something.
Bloody murder. All right. This sounds like a good plan. What could go wrong? Famous last words.
So many things.
Now that you said that.
Yeah. Famous last words.
Arden just looks over at you when you say, what could go wrong? And he goes,
everything.
You had to say that?
Yeah. Oh, because I break the curse by doing so.
It's less fun if he doesn't.
Yeah.
In fairness, that's the attitude Vex would have.
Yeah.
Yeah, less fun.
We're gonna give it our best college try.
Fantastic. Then I look forward
because
to dying
tomorrow.
The idea
of you becoming a demi-lich is, while abhorrent to you, is I'm sure abhorrent to the entire town as well. Yeah, we
I
will
don't
keep your
to go
secrets.
And kill a lich.
We'll keep your secret. Yeah, but stopping the process now is certainly better than the alternative.
I agree.
And we will do our best to keep such information from your grandson.
Thank you. In truth, I would have told him if you had not agreed to help me. He would.
In a way, we are helping him as well, because if you devolve into such a creature,
you are helping everyone.
Exactly.
There's no point in shattering his world just because you lied and made some poor decisions.
He chuckles at that and says,
his defense.
There's elvish blood in your veins. You will live to make many more bad decisions.
Oh, I have no doubt.
Starting with...
Are we going?
Oh, we're going.
Yes, go.
Okay, so as you're heading out the door, he says, Vexaren, a moment, please.
I hang back. Yes.
Ari will at least walk away to give them privacy. Meepo,
and you've got a 10-minute ritual to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Meepo's going to go watch the ritual.
It's fun. He gets to make a horsey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It technically doesn't have to be a horse.
Actually, I think it does. let's see. Where is it? Phantom Steed.
While you're looking that up.
Yep.
So, Vex, you and Ardent the First are now alone in the farmhouse, and he lowers his voice a bit and says, keep an eye on Ari. He has a lot of great potential. So did I. And look where that got me. He also has... Are you aware of the amulet he has with him?
The creepy thing that he talks to?
Ah, you've noticed that too. Good. I don't know if it's evil. It could have developed its aura through just the usage that it was meant to do by its previous owner. Or
by the way,
I'm
in the assumption that we don't hear what the amulet's saying.
No.
Ari is speaking when he's replying to the amulet.
He mentally replies, but he may have screwed up a couple times and thought he was saying it mentally and said it vocally instead.
Aloud. Yeah.
Oh, that's and he might not realize it.
Yeah, that's definitely possible.
So we are going to retcon to that being the case for why you would know he talks to it. That or he told you he has conversations with it, but I somehow doubt he would. All right. It might be nothing. It might be everything. But of all your friends, you're probably best capable of taking him down if worst comes to worst.
Wouldn't be the first noble turned tyrant I take down.
Well, if all goes well, you're going to find a piece of paper in the phylactery. Give it to Ari. He'll know what it is.
Okay.
It's not something I wish to bother my son with. He already has everything that it involves, so...
Might I inquire what it is? If I'm giving it to someone that I'm to keep an eye on, for obvious reasons, surely I should know what I'm giving him.
Just because you need to keep an eye on him does not mean he should be without resources. And where do you think I've spent all my winters these past... Ari will creepy. Figure the rest out.
Yeah, creepy, right?
Oh, Vex
well, he is
that.
A lich.
Yeah.
He's been around for over 100 years. He's starting to go just a bit barmy.
Just a wee bit.
It's
no excuse for creep.
It's time. I'm a lot less than 100 years old, and I'm kind of creepy.
That's no excuse for creep.
All right. So, that done. Ardent dissipates the illusionary magic that was allowing him to project himself here. And yeah, you have, yes, but you get to kill one now.
Sort of.
You're welcome.
A little bit of joy.
took a look at the spell. I can kind of shape it however I want. So that said, we'll kind of let Meepo direct its appearance. Okay. It has to be a horse-like creature. So it could be a unicorn. It could be a moose.
It could be a llama.
Could be a llama.
It could be a llama corn.
Something with a large torso, four legs, and a head. Beyond that, llamacorn. Probably anything goes.
Please peck llama cord.
It could have green and purple fur, or perhaps yellow and pink spots, whatever.
A polka-dotted llama cord. Yes.
Well, Jen is messaging in chat to say that she's got a noisy neighbor right now. So how about this is a perfect time for us to take a 5-minute break.
Sounds good.
Okay.
And when we come back, stay right there, because we'll find out what Jen is going to be riding to town on. Rather, Meepo. Meepo and Ari are going to be riding to town on.
Meepo and Ari.
All right, we'll be right back in 5.
You are listening to Words of Jen, where I read to you one piece of my writing in each and every episode. BookofJen.net.
We are back. I'm Crash, and these are all the people who were here before. All right, so your mad ride to town is done on a what?
Llama cord.
Okay, so I want, instead of a horse, can we have like a really big cow like Mr. Vex has on his farm? And I want it to be pink, and I want it to have purple spots.
A pink cow with purple spots.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Phantom there's our cow level.
Fantastic. The area I grew up, there was a small ice cream milkshake restaurant called the Purple Cow.
Oh. That's funny.
I'm on board with this. There is nothing conspicuous about this at all.
Not at all. Well, no, you asked the kobold, so you get this.
Now, I'm trying to teach her how to properly shape illusion magic, and this is a perfect learning opportunity.
Uh-huh. Okay.
All right.
You
well,
keep telling yourself that, noble boy.
There is a slight problem of that you begin to realize as you approach the gates of the town of Coomeridge Keep, in that while they do not maintain a guard presence as they did at the height of the zombie plague, there are a couple guards stationed at the gate.
Hmm.
Now, they know you, and you don't have any reason to believe they would deny you entry. but they are there.
Just walk in casually, yep. Very nonchalantly. Yep.
Don't we know a name of one of them?
Yes. Yes, you do. But he is not one of the ones you see here.
Yeah.
These individuals appear to be quite young.
Oh, this will be fun.
Yeah.
Good evening. You're Vax? Vax Sara?
Vex.
And Mr. Stabulots. Good to see you.
Good day. Good evening to you, sir, as well.
Looks like they don't know who you are. Your cover is clear.
Yeah, but I'm betting they could at least describe our appearance. And they rode in on a purple, pink, whatever it was.
So all we need to do is find a pink. All right, so we can find them easily. All we've got to do is search the area for a pink cow with purple spots.
Yes.
Which we'll manage in about an hour.
In an insane asylum.
And it will disappear in about 1 hour.
Keep in mind, the daughter of the current ruler is a sorceress who went on a wacky hijinks adventure where they made the lamps throughout the town
different colors,
rainbows out of everything.
Yes.
No one's going. They don't even blink at the cow, to be honest.
Yeah.
They don't even stare at it.
Commonplace.
Oh, it's by the shepherd. Yeah.
Wait, huh? Well, of course.
I'm just double checking.
The farm does have some horses, so you were able to ride on one of those and keep up. Shepherd, of course.
I'm assuming I was, yeah.
Shepherd, of course, as a full-grown wolf, had no problem keeping up. In the back of your mind, you are aware that you better not lose this one, because this one is yours.
Yep, this is my horse.
What's your horse's name, Mr. Vex?
Twilight Sparkle.
Why don't you ask him? He can talk to you, right? You should ask him his name.
Oh, that is a really good point. I don't want to waste a spell slot right now, though. I'll talk to him later.
Okay. Yeah.
You never know what you might need in there.
Exactly.
I already know what its answer is going to be, and this is going to be great.
Yeah. Okay,
so.
So we're walking past.
Yeah, okay, we're going to keep proceeding.
Yes. And it's more of the same for you to get into what is, it's not part of the keep itself. It is near the keep itself and near the guardhouse, but near is a relative term. This particular structure has enough of a courtyard around it for if a notable figure was being disposed of, that's a horrible way to say it, being interred, cremated, etc., and it's a ceremony where there's going to be more loved ones or mourners, you could fit them into this area and they would all be able to take part in the ceremony that's involved. But the courtyard right now is empty and you do not see any guards in sight.
Okay, so we're there then, right?
You are there.
Okay. I cast Pass Without a Trace at second level.
Is that a concentration spell?
It is a concentration spell for myself.
Okay.
All right. Make me invisible.
Now, if I remember correctly, that means there'll be no signs of you that can be tracked.
Yeah, Pass Without a Trace gives me plus 10 to my stealth checks. Okay. A creature that receives this bonus leaves no tracks or other traces of passage.
Okay. Well, since there are no individuals nearby, it's the tracking thing for afterwards that might play a stronger role until you start making a lot of noise by trying to open the phylactery.
Okay.
All right. So invisibility is also a concentration spell.
For you, though.
For me, yes. Anything target is wearing or carrying is invisible as long as it is on the target's person. The spell ends for a target that attacks or casts a spell. So you cast your spell first.
That's
then I'll cast my spell second.
So I've already done Pass Without a Trace.
Right.
Your turn.
My turn. All right. I will now cast Invisibility on our ranger.
And then Mipo feels left out, so she casts Prestidigitation to make Ari sparkle.
Aw.
Which ruins invisibility. But No. I'm joking.
I'm not invisible. Vex is.
No. Right.
That's right. That's two.
So
that's
Ari can sparkle all she wants at this point.
Okay.
And actually, Pass Without a Trace works for your whole party. So
it works for the whole party.
Right.
They would roll with advantage, to see you, but you would be able to add 10 to your attempts to hide.
Correct.
It's within 30 feet of me, so as soon as I leave that 30 feet, they lose
it. Right, right.
Okay.
And we're not really going to... How far up do we need
to
follow?
Oh, no, sorry. No, it's at the point of casting within 30 feet, so everyone will still have it, yeah.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. And for the sake of argument, we're going to say that this courtyard, while it's large enough for a fairly decent-sized gathering, you have cast it at a point, because you would know about how the spell works. You have cast it at a point where you can go up to the crematorium and climb up on top of it without going outside the boundary of the spell.
That sounds good.
Okay. So for our first roll of this part of the episode, I would like you to give me an acrobatics or athletics check to climb up on top of the crematorium.
Okay. I thought I was going to do a stealth check first.
You're invisible and have passed without trace. I think you're going to do okay.
I'm going to have him roll just to see if there's a one.
I wanted to be able to roll. Yeah. Okay, so stealth first then.
Dang it.
Okay, that's a 35.
What a gloriously high number. I'm on board with this.
Plus 16.
Now roll to climb up this crematorium, because it's the whole structure is like, imagine a cardboard tube that you have cut in half long ways and then set down on the ground. It's one great big half circle.
That is a 17.
That's sufficient. So there's a little bit of scrabbling. No one hears it. And you make your way up to the top. And if you did not know where to look for this, you would not see it. That said, I'm not going to make you roll for this because I really want to forward the plot along. So eventually, after a bit of looking, you're like, oh, well, here it is. Samsonite, I was way off. I know. You find the indentation, or the whole structure has these rectangles that are going over the whole thing, but you find the one that you're fairly certain happens to be the one where you should insert crowbar here.
Okay, I insert crowbar here.
Give me two more checks, athletics to open this, and a stealth check to see how quietly you open it.
Okay, so athletics to open, 19 plus 7.
Oh, yeah. You pop this lid open and it slides 26. Down the opposite side.
And stealth check with advantage. Not as high as the first, but still a 27.
Okay. So you don't make any noise. Actually, you know what? I'm going to say that the lid doesn't slide down, because if it slid down, it would make some noise when it hit the ground and probably break because it's just a lid. But you are able to open it in a way where the lid is still up there on top of the roof with you, so you'd be able to slide it back in place quietly when you're done. Unfortunately...
This is why we sent the stealthy tricksy ranger.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I heard that part.
Well, you see someone you did not ever expect to see again. Inside the space that you know was designed for Ardent Idris I to have his body regenerated, on any occasion where it was destroyed, you see the still form of Al Dente, the former sheriff of Oregano.
What?
And when you move this lid to the side, at first you just look down on him and his eyes are closed. He's just sitting there like he's dead. But his eyes open at the sound of the lid opening and he looks at you.
Al?
And he says,
wow, I'm invisible. You can't see me.
Oh, he might.
I'm guessing he has true sight then?
Something's going on. His eyes are glowing red.
Oh, no. Someone have a steak?
I think it's time to roll for initiative.
And how far down are Meepo and I?
Yeah, how far away are we from?
You are within striking distance of your ranged attacks.
Okay.
So that's a 21 for Vex.
Don't forget to roll for Shepherd.
His program adds our initiative modifier.
Yes.
18 for Vic and 11 for Shepherd.
And I rolled a 15.
Ari rolled a 12.
Okay. Shepherd goes first. Shepherd doesn't know anything's wrong.
Shepard goes first with an 11?
Oh, you said 11?
Yeah, 18 for Vex.
I thought you said 20 for that. Okay, well, let's... Hold on.
Oh, no, I said 21 because I gave you with the modifier.
Okay, so Ari was 12. Meepo was 15.
Mm-hmm.
Shepard was 11.
Uh-huh, and Vex was 18.
Okay, you go first. You are standing over a rather angry-looking Alfred Dente holding a crowbar. You are holding the crowbar, not him.
Yeah.
This might
can
change.
Can I bonk him with the crowbar?
You can make an improvised attack.
You got them gauntlets. It'll still hurt.
Yeah, the gauntlets. And I'm going before him so I get advantage anyway. Okay, so what am I adding to it? Just my strength then?
Yes.
Okay, so it's just plus 4. Natural 20.
You smack him really hard with the crowbar. By the way, you're no longer invisible.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I got that. Pass without a trace is still up. Invisibility is gone.
Yeah.
So that's roll double the number of die and then add
what am
your...
I rolling for a crowbar?
That's a good question.
That is a good question.
Let's treat it like a club. So I think 1d6?
Yeah.
D6, so that'd be 2d6 then.
Yes, 2d6 plus 4.
That's a 6 and a 2, so 8 plus 4 is 12.
Okay, you do 12 points of damage.
Okay, and then I'll club him again. 17 plus 4, 21.
That's a hit.
And that gets rid of my advantage rolls. 4 plus 4 is 8.
Wait a minute, what was your first roll? Oh, wait, you did 20, that was right.
First roll was natural 20 and 8. And then second was 17 and a 2.
2 points of damage?
No, 8 points. No, it was because I have advantage if I go before him. So it was 8.
Oh, so that was both rolls. What was the damage?
Damage was 8 for the second one.
Okay. For some reason, I forgot that you rolled a 20, even though I was putting in the damage that you did for rolling a 20. I'm just going to grab this coffee cup of mine and take another sip. I'd hit the spot. Maybe now I'll be slightly more awake in about 20 minutes when the battle's over. Sooner if it's a TPK. All right. So you do that.
I do that.
Yes. You just smacked him twice upside the head. There are crowbar-shaped dents in his face.
Can I start sliding away? Just kidding, backing away because I'm shouting... Help, 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 help.
You may use your movement to slide down the side back the way you came.
Yep, and start shouting help, 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 help.
I'm going to say that getting down safely uses all of your movement.
That's
but
fine.
You do land safely. You sort of it's a sliding descent. You are at the base of the crematorium. Meepo's okay. Up next.
Hopefully they heard the shouting.
Oh yeah. Everyone in this courtyard heard the shouting.
Oh, okay. okay, so we've got... So Vex is clear of the thing he was seeing.
Yes.
And we have
you
a guy in it.
You can't see.
I can't
You're at the base.
See.
You're at the bottom.
Yeah.
I can't
he's
tell.
Yeah, oh, you saw me sliding down.
Yeah. He might be in range, but we don't have line of sight.
And the crowbar looks like it's got some blood and some... Maybe... Is that hair attached to it? Yeah, you think there's hair on it.
What?
What did you find, Mr. Vex?
Zombie.
Okay.
Zombie.
Tough one as well.
Well, if I could see him, I could. So.
Mechanic wise, hold an action or something.
Oh.
Ready.
Yeah.
Ready to shoot whatever comes out of there, but.
Yeah, that I could do.
Yeah, assuming it's hostile towards us.
Okay, so I'm just gonna let you know, Al's going last, so. Does everyone hold their action at this point?
Shepard will hold a bite.
See if I have anything.
Which is odd, because he tends to hold things with a bite.
Yeah.
Ari's going to hold... Ari's going to basically hold until... If and Vex has no reason to lie, and, you know, if somebody hit me with a crowbar, I'd probably come out pretty violent, too. He didn't. He just said zombie. So we don't really know it's Al in there right now. So
no.
Ari's going to wait to see what happens. Yes, I'm holding.
Yeah, okay. Me too.
So it's Meepo's turn, she holds. It's Shepard's turn, he holds. It's Ari's turn, he holds. It is Owl's turn. He calls you Betty. And Logan is not here to say, I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Oh.
I can call you Betty. Betty, when you call me, call me Al.
Paul Simon. Don't get it.
Paul Simon.
It's a song.
It's a Paul Simon song.
And the music video for it had Chevy Chase.
Chevy Chase.
Yep.
Who's Paul Simon and who's Chevy Chase?
You're so young.
Yeah.
Simon and Garfunkel?
Yeah.
That's probably not helpful.
Who?
Sounds of Silence?
Yeah.
Although he probably knows the newer version.
You probably know the newer version.
Chris
yeah.
knows Motley Crue, but he doesn't know Paul Simon. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, they're not exactly the same kind of music.
No, they aren't. No, they are not.
Nah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, it
they
is.
They were active at the same time.
True. However, you know, not everyone knows every kind of music, and that's okay.
Right. It's fine.
And he was popular when we were younger.
Right.
But
and there's
Chris...
an age difference here, so.
I'm 27.
Yeah.
Oh, you dear sweet child. Summer child.
Yeah.
When I first learned how old you were many years ago, I believe I exclaimed, I have clothing that's older than you.
Yes, yes, that's exactly what you said to me, actually.
Oh, wow.
Nice clothing that I am willing to wear in public.
Mm-hmm. Those are your exact words.
What year were you born? What year?
Christmas Day, 1990.
My God, my Army Class A's are older than he is. Because I got those in 1987, and they're hanging in my closet.
Wow.
All right. Well, that note, Owl flies out of the top of the phylactery. Maybe fly could be the wrong word. Yeah. He doesn't have wings or anything. It could just be a Wolf. Mighty leap.
Okay, sure.
But it is definitely above and beyond what you would expect a human to be able to do.
Superhero landing.
Three-point landing.
He comes down and does the superhero landing because, of course, he needs to do a superhero landing.
Yeah, but he doesn't have a cloak ability to go with it.
That's okay. He'll take yours when you're done with it.
Oh, creepy.
And the first thing you notice is, you know that damage you did to him?
Mm-hmm.
You did 20 points of damage, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Adds up to 20.
12 and an 8.
His face looks fine.
Son of a... He's a vampire. Okay.
He might just be somebody's spawn.
Yeah, that's probably what he is.
If you give me a straight up wisdom player. Check.
That's everyone. Players. That's players.
Yeah, that's players. We know.
Okay. Yeah, it's.
Right now, we don't know. All we can see is that whatever his appearance is, at least.
Okay. So never mind about that. But in any case, he takes a couple of swings at Vex. Because he's just a little bit upset
both,
with you.
They're both at the base. We're near the base.
Yeah, well, he lands among you, but of everyone here, only one of them has tried to smash his brains in with a crowbar.
True. Mm-hmm.
Again, I would be understandably upset if that happened to me. And I might take out my vengeance upon such.
So, in fairness, it was the you. That was, he hates me already.
Yeah.
Yes. So he takes a swing at you, and the first swing he goes, you! Again. And that is a dirty 20.
Natural?
No.
Dirty 20. So
okay.
His bonus to hit plus the die roll equal 20.
Okay. Hits.
That will be 8 points of damage from that hit. Bludgeoning.
Ow, okay.
And with the second strike, he goes, it's your fault! And that is a lot higher than 20.
Okay.
And that is 7 points of damage, again bludgeoning.
Ow. Okay.
And that ends his turn.
Okay, so...
Can they take the turns now?
Yeah.
They held their actions, so yes, they may enter initiative here.
Okay.
All right.
Who's first, or does it matter?
Ari is at least going to try to talk to him initially, and then try to take... look him over to see if there's any clear signs that this is not the Owl we remember.
Other than the glowing red eyes, he looks exactly the way you remember him.
Okay.
He's even wearing the same clothing, although the clothing looks a little worse for wear.
But does he perhaps have a slightly paler tone to his skin?
He was pale to begin with. You remember
he lived underground.
He lived underground for years.
All right. I'd like to try to make a religion check to determine if he is perhaps indeed one of the undead.
Okay.
So that is a total of 9. So I rolled a 5. I'm not trained in religion.
Okay.
So
well, what you know is he's really strong and was hanging out inside a phylactery. Seems totally human.
Yeah. Yeah, but how many people hang out inside phylacteries?
Only bad ones. Hit it.
Yeah. All right. We're going to start off with... We'll go light. We'll try the Ray of Frost, because that will slow him down.
Okay.
All right. So I'll roll a 12 plus 7 is 19.
A 19 will hit him.
2d8 is 3 and 4 is 7 cold damage, but he will have his movement reduced by 10 feet.
He's going to feel that more than the 7 damage.
I figured. I suspect.
Okay. So you cast this ray of intense cold at him, and a layer of frost appears on one side of his head and on his right arm and a bit of his back. And he turns around and looks at you with a snarl on his face. And he's had his turn, but he runs over to you anyway. You were within his movement, his reduced movement. So he's still able to do that.
Okay.
He moves fast enough, Vex, that you do not get an attack of opportunity.
Wow, he's quick. Sure.
And he tries to strike you, Ari.
Okay.
And that is going to be a hit.
Huh? Wait, did we skip my turn?
No,
no, he's reactioning off of my turn.
Oh, reaction.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah, he's reactioning off my turn.
It's 2 in the morning.
If I want to scare the party, I will say that he's able to do this by using a legendary action.
Oh, I see. Oh, great.
Yes.
This is our first mob with legendary actions.
No, it's not. No, it is not.
First one that we have a chance to kill.
Yeah. Well, we're technically in
no,
his lair.
No, it's technically. Do you have a chance to kill this? I don't know. I do know that Ari just took 11 points of bludgeoning damage, and when you take this damage, Al says Oregano was fine until you got there.
I had nothing to do with that.
That's not exactly true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
It doesn't seem like he's
Going to believe that even if you crit a persuasion check.
Yeah. No, he's got his mind made up. I'm not trying to persuade him anything.
There is some evidence to the contrary as well.
It was indirect.
Indirect, but you did start a series of events that led to you releasing a Kraken.
Yeah.
This is something that occurred.
Yep.
Now, there are two other individuals that held their actions. We have Meepo and Shepard.
How about it, Meeps?
Okay. How close is this guy?
He's right on top of you, because I assume you were standing next to Ari.
Yes. Yeah, of course. Okay.
And
he just
rushed over and punched Ari in the face.
Okay. So what I want to do is reach out and touch this guy and use that hand to pass at him from there.
I'm sorry. You cut out there.
Okay. So what I want to do. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. You just cut out.
Okay.
A couple times.
So what I want to do is reach out into the sky and cast lightning directly at him with that hand. Like
you literally cut out at the same exact
spot.
She wants to reach out and touch the guy
and cast lightning bolt.
Okay.
Yeah, she wants
to
lightning bolt.
Let's say give me this is gonna be an unarmed strike if you want to touch him for this. Technically you don't have to touch him to cast lightning.
Right.
We'll just have that
be flavor. Because needing to touch him does not matter for casting a lightning bolt.
Okay, well.
But we'll say for flavor, you reach
stronger,
out. Yeah, you reach out like, excuse me, mister, and tap him on the knee or something. But instead of just tapping him on the knee, you decide to send enough electricity to power a small hospital through his knee.
Yes.
Sorge.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So for lightning, that would be, he has to make a save, right?
Yes.
Dex save, I believe.
Yeah, Dex 14, it says. Attack save, Dex 14.
Yep.
Okay, I've got some bad news for you. This guy is really dexterous.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
yes. And he also has legendary saves. Oh.
Yeah, well, that too, but
that's irrelevant at this point.
He's got no bad saves.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and he also has some damage resistances that I didn't take into account.
Oh, no.
It doesn't matter.
Well, we don't know that,
Well, Vex would know, because when he did those 20 points of damage, he actually only did 10 points of damage, so he would be aware of, hey, I hit this guy a lot harder than that. There should be more damage to his face.
Right.
So Vex is aware that he wasn't doing as much damage with that bludgeoning attack. Beyond that, you don't know. However, he did pass his save, so he's still going to take half damage. So what's the damage?
Okay, so it's 8d6?
Correct.
8d6?
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to read off what I roll. I have 4 dice. I'll do it twice. Okay, one of them is 4, and that one's 6. And a 1, a 5, 11, and a 4.
19.
Okay, and then I got to roll those 4 again because it's 8, not 4. I try not to have them off the table. Okay, I have a 2.
21.
And a 1.
22.
And a 4.
26.
And a 3.
29.
29. Half. So divide in half and round down. That would be 14. Okay, you do 14 points of lightning damage to this guy. He does not appear to be resistant to lightning damage.
Good to know.
Shepherd.
Rip out his throat.
I'm going to go for a bite. My little companion, little buddy. And they're all near him, so he gets advantage. So that's a natural 18 plus 6. Is that it?
Yeah, that's going to hit. It's safe to assume that any roll over 20 is going to hit most things.
5 plus 8 is 13 points of piercing. And bear in mind, Shepard's attacks count as magical.
Stupid OP Rangers.
And DC 12 strength saving throw. Or be knocked prone.
Oh no, he has to pass a strength saving throw.
You know what? It's still gotta... You know what? Getting him to do these, still a good thing.
Ho-ho-ho!
Natural 1.
No, not a natural 1.
Natural
but
20.
It doesn't matter because that's an 11.
So he
fails. He failed.
He fails. Shepherd knocks Al down with a bite.
Oh, yay!
Teeth around his throat. Al goes down.
MVP puppy, as always.
Good job, Shepherd. Good job.
And he hits the puppy.
No.
That's... I'm not going to tell you what the bonus to hit is, but that's a 19 on the die.
Oh, jeez. That's a hit.
Shepard takes 9 points of bludgeoning damage.
Okay.
And is no longer latched on to Al's throat.
Okay.
And Al says, I didn't make the connection at first. Then I went to Husan. What's on?
One of the songs.
Scoresgate. Everywhere you've been, towns go away. It's you. It's all your fault.
Yeah, don't think we haven't thought about that.
Hell yeah, we have.
Well, he's ready to do something about it.
Yeah.
We are at the top of the initiative order. I'm not... technically, I'm supposed to redo the order since you held your actions. Now you're all after Al, except for Vex, but I'm not going to do that. So it's Vex's turn.
Okay. Going to drop concentration on...
Your spell.
Pass without a trace.
You are now no longer sneaky.
Yeah,
I'm just regular sneaky.
Yeah,
I'm gonna dump a charge on my longbow and cast Hunter's Mark first level.
It occurs to me, technically, when you were shouting "help, help, 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 help," you were maintaining concentration on Pass Without a Trace. So with your plus 10 to stealth, it actually should have sounded like "help, help,"
yeah.
or that. That scene from the original Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory movie were, help,
yes,
please.
Help, please.
But you have cast Hunter's Mark using an extra special property that you worked into your bow in the months where everyone else was away.
And I still have my spell slots.
And you still have your spell slots for now.
Yeah.
And Al looks up and he sees a great big glowing red arrow pointing down at him because I'm using World of Warcraft symbology here.
Why not?
Yeah, it's just flavor. It's only visible to him and people in your raid group. So
I'm going to cock an arrow and fire, and I'm going to dump my inspiration to get advantage.
All right. Someone's using his inspiration. I get to press a button over here to turn off that little button there.
And that's a natural 20. 17 plus a natural 20.
Woohoo!
That's why you dump inspiration, people.
Even if you're guaranteed to hit, because you want that chance of a 20.
Yeah.
All right.
Even if you're guaranteed to hit with a plus 9 on hit, you still dump that inspiration for the 20.
There is a chance that you will miss this guy. Yeah. Not a very high one.
So that's 2d and 2d6. 16 plus 4, 20 points of piercing damage on the first shell.
Ouch! Yeah. And that is a magical bow.
That is a magical bow.
That's why you get those.
And for your second attack?
Second shot. 19 to hit. 10 plus
19
9.
Will hit.
Okay.
Oh, no, that sunburst. Sun whatever beam spell mother knew.
She didn't teach it to you.
No, it's a little beyond my capabilities.
12 points of piercing damage.
Maybe when you're older.
Yeah, like, say, next year.
And you said 12 points of damage?
12 points of piercing damage, yes.
Oh, right.
Shepard also gets an extra attack because he's in range. And he saw me attack him.
And he saw you attack, yes.
And he gets advantage because he's still around everybody. That is a 18 to hit.
I already rolled for his save. He does make the save this time, but that's...
You're just assuming... Oh, that one's cocked.
Well, I'm trying to speed this along. It is technically already 9:23.
14 points piercing with the magic of Bubby.
Matter of fact, I might even suggest that for those of you who have enough dice to do this, roll for damage at the same time you're rolling to hit, just to speed it up. Because if you miss, then you just don't bother counting the die. Okay. He's bloodied. He's got two arrows sticking out of a designated good guy area of his chest. You did not shoot him through the heart. You are to blame, though. And
he is.
And Shepard has grabbed hold of the same knee. Actually, no. Shepard has grabbed hold of the other knee, the one that wasn't hit by lightning. So he's doing that thing that Jim Carrey does where he goes, ah! Ah! He's looking back and forth at the two knees. Everything you touch, you destroy.
And I'm going to destroy one more thing.
Yeah.
You need to be put down. It's Meepo's turn, though.
Okay, so this guy's on the ground? And
no, he made a save.
So he's standing up, and Shepard is attached to him.
Physically, yes. Correct?
Physically, yes. Okay.
Possibly emotionally.
Yeah, no.
To Shepard...
He does have a mat on.
To Shepard, everything is a stick if you try hard enough.
Right. See, I'm thinking he's trying to bring it back to... Here you go.
Accurate. Okay. It wouldn't be the first time he's done that.
Yeah.
This is canon, yes. It's happened in combat before.
It's happened, yeah. Okay, so I think so I can do some damage without hurting Shepard at all. I'm going to do magic missile. And I think I can do that can I do that as a second spell?
You broke up.
Oh, can you hear me now? Sorry.
Yeah.
I think she said she wants to do it as a second level spell.
Yes.
Yeah. I would give you an extra d4.
Okay, so I'm going to do that.
So it'd be 4d4.
4d4. Plus 4.
4d4 plus 4.
So I rolled a 4.
Yay.
So 5.
And I've rolled a 4 again.
5.
10.
10.
And a 3. I think I got one.
14.
Yep. 14 plus?
3.
18.
18.
Okay. So I think that's 4 of them.
Yep.
That's it. Yeah.
All right.
That is some hefty damage.
Mm. All right. That's what I've done.
Second level spell.
Yeah.
Yes. Nice.
Show off. It is Shepard's turn. Speaking of show offs.
Yeah,
speaking of show offs, Poppy's going to do some showing off. He's going to go for another bite.
Okay.
You don't have undead as a favorite enemy, do you?
Humanoids. So 13 plus, so 19 to hit.
That'll hit.
And the damage was 5 plus 8 is 13 again. Did I bat that right? Yes.
All right. And he makes a save again. Shepard is trying very hard to bring this stick to you, but it's stuck to something.
You'll get it eventually, buddy.
Yep.
Keep believing.
You're strong, independent little puppy.
Don't stop believing. Hold on to that leg. It's, you know that song, but you don't know yes, Simon and Garfunkel.
You know that one. Everybody
this
knows,
is amazing.
Everybody knows Journey.
This is amazing. I love everything about this. I love this game so much. And Ari, I love that it is your turn because the voice in the back of your head says, he looks very flammable.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
The problem is a fireball here would not be apropos.
I agree, but that's not your only spell you know that causes flame damage.
No,
no. The little one casts lightning bolt. That did seem to work as well.
Yeah, I've got that ready. But you tempt me. You tempt me, Satan.
I tempt you to kill someone who you already seem interested in stopping. Who seems to not be willing to stop until you're dead.
Calling him Satan, I like him.
It just so with the animated GIF from Wreck-It Ralph. Thanks, Satan.
Thanks, Satan. Exactly.
I keep telling you that's not my name.
Yeah, he's standing up now because Shepard didn't take him down.
No.
So I'm going to try lightning first. But now I have a piece of information that I can try if this doesn't do as good a job.
Or it could just be that the amulet wants him to burn.
Yeah, that too. Which makes me
wonder. Nikla should have really gotten this amulet. You know, she would have. It's fun.
She would have used it.
Oh, yeah.
We are casting lightning bolt. We are. He will then make a dex save. I'm a little better than Meepo, so his dex save is a 15.
He got a nat 20.
Ah, bummer. But I got some decent damage. There's 10, there's 20, there's 30, and that is 34.
So rounding down. There's no rounding, it's just dividing in half.
Yeah, half of that would be 17.
Noted. Oh, he's not in a good way. However, it is now his turn. He heals 20 points.
No.
Yeah, because we do a certain. We need a certain type that none of us have. Yeah.
So I accidentally pressed the button for damage instead of healing, and I did 20 points of damage to him instead.
Oops.
Let's just put that back.
No, you don't have to.
No, I
kind of do.
Yeah.
I kind of do. He's like, oh, ah, ooh, the pain. I see a bright light. Do I go towards
Kirk.
It? This from the person who loves Star Trek.
Yeah, you went Phil Shatner on us.
Oh, yes.
And I missed it.
Shatner went full Shatner and over the hedge. And he has recently turned out to be not a nice person in social media with some of his interactions.
No,
but,
we knew that.
But I appreciated that he parodied himself. All right, so start of his turn. His legendary actions are replenished. And he raises his hand in the air.
As a point, legendary actions replenish at the start of the round, not his turn. So he
it depends.
At the start of the round.
It depends. And the text I'm reading for this particular creature says start of its turn.
I thought I was helping. Okay.
Yes. There are times when you are absolutely right. Then there are some legendary actions I think are per day. But in this particular
case.
That's
the legendary save ones.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which hopefully we've now made a burn through.
I do appreciate it. Do not stop correcting me if you think I am wrong, because more likely you will be correct. So,
There are too many rules for everybody to remember them all.
Accurate.
Exactly. And we're all playing this game to have fun, so nothing wrong with that. So he raises his hand in the air, and he puts it down. He raises it again. And he gets a puzzled look on his face. Do me a favor. Give me a charisma save for Shepard.
Oh, okay.
That's interesting.
6.
That's not interesting.
Shepard lets go.
Oh, no, I know what's happening.
And
yep.
Al says, there aren't a lot of wolves in the area. At least there's one.
Puppy!
And unfortunately, that was an action. So his action is done.
All right.
Vex, it's your turn.
Okay. What do you do, Doc? Okay. I'm going to take another shot. Natural 17.
That
plus
is
a lot.
That is a hit.
6, 1, plus 4, so 11 points of piercing. This is where I test out to see if the puppy still listens to me. Will he do his bite?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Just had to make sure.
Yep.
No. Okay. Second attack is a natural 16 plus 9.
That will hit.
7 plus 4 is 11 points of piercing.
Okay.
And that's all I can do.
Since your buddy is a little indisposed.
I know how to get him out of it, but Vex,
I'm going to help. Don't worry about it. I'm going to help.
Well,
I got to wait for Shepherd's turn, though.
Guess
turn
what?
That is
one hit, two hits, and a crit fail.
On what?
That's Al. He rushes over to you.
To Vex.
And he strikes. Actually, no, he strikes you twice. Not. The movement is a legendary action. Striking is a legendary action. He blows all three of his legendary actions on you, so he gets two hits.
Right.
Okay.
And that is 9 points of damage and 11 points of damage, so 20 points of damage to you. And you can barely hear it as he rushes over to you, pummeling his fists into your gut. Your back is up against the wall that is also the roof, since it's a curve, of the crematorium, and almost under his breath, you just hear him say, "Sick 'em, boy."
Uh-huh.
Meepo, it's your turn.
I cast Friends on Shepherd, if it works.
You glorious spellcaster.
Well, I noticed he wasn't listening to Mr. Vex.
What does Friends say? Does it only work on humanoids?
Friends, I don't think so. Let's see. Casting time, range, components, duration, school. Say anything. A creature.
Okay.
Yeah, yes. It just says creature.
A creature. So I'm casting Friends on Shepherd, and I'm telling Shepherd, you're our friend. You need to attack Mr. Dente. Go for his throat, please.
Shepherd does that dog thing where they tilt their head to the side.
You can do it, boy. You can do it.
So she gets advantage on persuasion checks.
Okay, we'll try to persuade Shepherd that he's not a killing machine controlled by an undead monstrosity.
Would I roll insight on that for Shepherd?
Well, Shepherd is being controlled.
Okay.
His insight wouldn't matter for this.
Right.
But he's getting... Here's what I'm going to do. Roll your persuasion check with advantage. So that's roll d20 and then roll it again and tell me the higher of the two numbers.
Keep dropping a dice. I'm panicking.
Well, this is Meepo rolling.
Okay.
No, so I know. I've got to manage to keep dropping.
All right. So I rolled d20 twice. That one bounced off of something. Hold on. Okay, I have a 20. Do I need the second roll?
Oh, nope. No, you don't need a second roll because you're not going to get higher than that. That is a crit success.
Yes.
So how I'm going to interpret this is Shepherd gets to make another save, but this time at advantage. Still a charisma save.
Okay. Natural 19 plus 1, so 20. And I'm glad it was advantage because the other one was a natural 1.
Feast or famine, my friend.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He shakes it off.
Shake it off.
It's his turn.
He shakes off what exactly? What I did or what?
No,
the
vampire commands.
Okay. Yeah.
So
now in a minute or less, if you lose concentration, he's going to be aware that you tricked him.
Mm-hmm.
But that's 10 rounds from now.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a minute.
Well, time speeds up after combat. And right now, a particularly bloody looking owl has Shepherd's best friend in the whole wide world literally up against a wall.
Shepherd's going to charge at him and... bite. and Vex will be in range. Nom, nom. So advantage.
I rolled a 19 on the save, so when he inevitably hits, he's not going down.
It's a 19 to hit.
That's a hit.
And that's 2 fours plus 8, so 8 plus 8 is 16 points of piercing.
Al goes pow, into a cloud of mist and dissipates away.
Ugh. As, oh, no, no, no,
as
no,
Shepherd's
no, no,
claws close in, yeah. And right as you could hear the spine in his neck cracking and breaking, this bite would have taken his head clean off.
That's what I was hoping for.
You're almost certain it did, but right then, poof, he dissipates in the mist.
The phylacteries. Okay. Can I do a roll to see how much I know about vampires?
You're going to have to do a roll to understand that he's a vampire.
Okay, can I do that?
He didn't say, hello, I'm Eldentre. Right. You might know me as a vampire spawn, but now I'm a full-fledged vampire. You actually didn't know I was a vampire spawn before.
Yeah. That was our guess, but we don't officially know what he is. Our
that was the player's guess.
So what am I adding to the 16?
That
religion?
Would
it be a religion check?
As a ranger, I would say that you could also do survival in this case.
Which puts up to a 21 then.
Oh yeah, you're pretty certain that he is a vampire or vampire spawn.
What do I know about them?
They're bad, and putting a stake through the heart usually does bad things to them. Running water will do bad things to them. Sunlight would do bad things to them. They are notoriously difficult to kill. Wind because they like to turn into mist and blow away, or turn into a swarm of bats, or, you know, then they get in your hair.
That's
annoying.
Okay. I don't know what he's going to do then, so.
Well, you do know that when they turn into mist to escape, they will often try to go to their resting place.
Right. And where did you find
him? That's where they
will
regenerate.
In the phylactery.
Right.
Pick it back up there?
You do.
I need to roll athletics to get up?
Yep.
A lot. 23. 16 plus 7. I think I'm at that right.
Okay. So you climb up there, and you see there is this mist that's hovering over the phylactery, and it's looking down. Like, you guess it's looking down. It is a cloud of mist, but there's sort of like a pseudopod that sort of arches down at the phylactery, then arches back up at you standing there and looks down at the phylactery, then up at you. And you know that...
Are you noping out?
You know how when someone realizes they're out of options, they might just give a sigh and their shoulders will sag?
Yeah.
Imagine a cloud of mist doing this.
Okay.
Because it knows as soon as it goes in there, you are going to do something bad to it.
Yep.
Yeah, wooden arrows.
Wooden arrows.
It flies away.
Now, do we
where
see
do
the
we
mist
fly?
Leaving?
Yeah, where do we see? Or do we see?
Well, it is nighttime.
Right. Is he an invisible mist or a white mist?
We're going to say off-white, like an eggshell.
And I've got my robe of eyes, dark vision, true vision, ethereal vision, astral vision.
You see it go away like
I'll find it.
Like there was a strong gust of wind that was blowing. It heads away. Up
so
and out.
It left the phylactery.
It left the phylactery.
Okay.
I'm going to dump a second level cure wounds into myself.
Okay. With your roll of over 20 for knowing about vampires, you do know that if they can't get to their place of rest or regenerate within a couple hours, they die anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And how long? Well, take care of the phylactery.
Crowbar, smash, smash, smash.
I'm not even going to make you roll. You make a few dents and... You know how when an air conditioner kicks off, it turns off? Like, you didn't hear it before, but now you know it's not on anymore. The silence is more noticeable.
Yep.
It's kind of like that. It's not a sound. It's not a sight. It's more of a feeling.
It's the absence of the sound.
Feelings is gone. The absence
yes,
of feeling.
It's there was something going on here that is not going on anymore. And there's still plenty of background radiation. The crematorium is in full effect.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But there's something less about it.
I think we did a good job here.
You also see a small piece of paper at the bottom.
Pick it up and I open it. I want to read it.
Okay. You can't read it.
Different language?
Not one that you've seen before.
Okay. I put it in my backpack.
What would you like to do?
Climb back down.
We're waiting for him to come back, assuming that. Right. Do you need help?
No, I got it. I'm climbing back.
Okay.
You did the job.
Dumb.
Did you put the lid back on?
I climbed back up. Put the lid back on.
For practice.
Climb back down.
I try not to make Twitch moments of events that happen after the first hour of the episode because those are way too spoiler heavy. Yeah. But that is such a Twitch moment right there.
Climb back up.
Like that moment where you get to the car and you realize you left your keys sitting next to your coffee. You're like, oh. Then you realize you're living alone and you're like, oh.
As a point for the DM, I do not mention the letter to Ari.
Okay.
So we're done?
I think we're done, love.
Okay. You can keep the crowbar. I don't want it.
You sure?
Blood on it.
It's kind of heavy.
Okay.
I'm tempted to mention this to Lord Idris. However, his father did want us to keep this secret. Although, Ari will try to look around, see how many guards are beginning to approach.
You don't see any guards.
Okay. So
let's get out of here before more show up.
You just had a knockdown, drag out fight, and there was yelling involved, and you see no guards.
Right. So, see no guards.
That's probably not a good sign.
That's not a good sign, but let's get out of here before any shows up.
Yep.
Okay.
If Lord Arden the First knew about this and indeed tried to make sure that we could carry out the mission in secrecy, then this lets a little. Yeah, I think he was responsible. So, all right. Let's Amscray.
Ari, give me an arcana check.
18 and 10 is 28.
So this is a bit out of your wheelhouse, but it is theoretically possible that after the wards protecting the phylactery were dissipated and Al showed up in town looking for a place to rest during the day, he stumbled upon the phylactery and that's why the draining was happening faster.
Because, that makes some sense because the vampire, or whatever it was somehow blocking, interfering, or subsisting on whatever was coming through.
It's possible.
Yeah.
It might just be that Arden the First miscalculated in how fast he'd be becoming weaker. And here's it just thing. So happens that it was a convenient place to stay that was very well protected but no longer had wards.
Right. Something doesn't jive here, but
There's several possible theories. You don't know the definitive answer.
Yeah, there's too many what ifs here. That he just because it's a lot of necromancy that is not his wheelhouse. So
yeah, which is why I'm not giving you a definitive answer with a roll of 28.
Right. No, and that's perfectly fine. I get that. Ari is going to come up with about 100 different reasons how this could be, and probably all of them will be wrong. So
he's got another puzzle to solve.
Yes. That said, he figures that the guards are otherwise occupied thanks to Fervid, for lack of a better word. We'll call him Fervid for right now, in quotes.
the person who was appearing to be Fervid.
Right. The person appearing
Mr.
to be
Mr. Ghost. Mr. Ghost. Mr. Ghost.
He arranged Ghost this Dad. So that we could take care of this
Ghost
without interference and hopefully then keep it on the down low, as it were, from his grandson. So
he did say he'd take care of the distraction.
He did say he would take care of it. So he did, as far as I was concerned, he did so. There's no reason for him to be suspicious of anything other than finding the vampire in the phylactery area. But given the evil kind of necromantic nature that would draw a creature like that as a place to rest. So there is some magical logic to it. So that said, let's beat feet.
Okay.
Or at least make our horsey go bye-bye.
Well, horse and cow.
It's a cow. It's a cow.
Yeah, it's a cow.
Yes, but Ari came here on his high horse.
That's
all. No, Vex came here on his high horse.
Vex came here on a high horse, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a farm horse, so this is a large animal. Like, imagine the horses that you see in beer commercials. It's a Clydesdale.
It's a Clydesdale?
Clydesdale. Big wagon horses.
Wow. Yeah.
They're good for plowing fields. They need a lot of oomph to move all that soil.
Well, and carrying knights in heavy armor too. That's the other use they used to have.
Vex may have made use of a stepladder to get up onto the horse. You never tell.
He's an acrobatic little minx. He could have probably gotten up there.
All right, so you All head right. home?
We head home.
Okay, you arrive
and
home.
And I
want to
remind
as...
Miss... Sorry.
Sorry.
Mr. Vex, you could ask your horse what his name is now.
Hello?
Did we lose him?
Chris, you're muted. Are you there?
Oh, I'm muted. I didn't realize it was. Yes. I will dump a first level spell and speak with animals.
All right. Hi.
Hey, buddy. What's your name?
Horse. What they called me. It's my name.
That's not your name. It's what you are. You're a horse. A male horse, I think.
Last I checked.
Yeah, no reason to have him gelded, right?
No. My name's Horse.
Do you like the name Horse?
Meh. He shrugs, and you almost have to make a dexterity check to stay on top of his.
What do you want your name to be?
I don't know. For a while, I was Hey You.
I'm not gonna... Oh, no, that's a dumb idea.
I don't like dumb idea. It doesn't sound right.
It's not a good name, no, I know. Do you want me to come up with some suggestions and run them by you at some point?
He shrugs again, and this time you almost fall off the other side.
Okay. Oh, nice talking to you.
Same here.
And I aimed the spell early.
So
just
what's his
because
name?
You can.
Just because you could have I can.
Spent, you could, as soon as you do, you realize that you could have spent that time talking to Shepard, who is very happy to be trotting along beside you. But he looks,
oh, yeah.
He looks a little... He's a wolf, but he looks very sheepish.
Oh, can I because can I for a while the spending the spell early then?
Nope.
Because oh.
Nope.
I'll dump another spell slot. I don't care. Yeah. Dump another spell slot. Is Shepard okay?
He whimpers.
He took a lot of damage, I think, didn't he?
He took some damage.
He took some. Is it like?
That's
16.
He's taken worse and given more.
Oh yeah, he's taken worse.
But that's
I got one good punch, but
well, I've dumped a spell slot.
That's not why he's whimpering.
He almost had to attack his master.
Yeah, that's why he's whimpering.
After one particularly ill-fated jousting incident, he took more damage involving Mr. Fluffytail the squirrel.
Probably, yeah.
But that's not why he's whimpering.
You want to talk about it, puppy?
I'm sorry.
You and I both know it wasn't your fault.
It wasn't.
I was going to swear, that really bad person, he controlled you. You didn't do anything wrong.
He told me you were a stick.
I'm not a stick. But you made sure he was... You made sure he didn't come back and hurt us, so you did good.
I'm still sorry.
I know, puppy. And I scratch him, lean down a little bit and just scratch him behind his ear. Because he's a big puppy now, right?
So, give me a strength save.
He's a wolf.
Strength
he's
save?
A wolf grown wolf.
Okay. So that's plus 7. 17.
Okay, so he almost knocks you off the horse by trying to give you a tackle and lick your face. I rolled for him to hit. I got a 19 on the die. So...
Trip. But no, save.
No puppy.
And all is forgiven.
And you ride off
into the sunrise. Actually, no, not into the sunrise, but the sun is rising as you get home.
Yeah.
And that is where we will end it for the evening.
On a long rest.
Oh, you are getting a long rest. You're going to sleep through the day. Maybe wake up once or twice when you hear Ross or Jackson exclaim something in horror, mostly from something that Ross has done.
I'll deal with them in the morning. Too tired.
It is morning, but morning for you might be evening at this point.
You had a hard night's ride and a fight with an undead thingamabob, and then a hard night's ride back.
On a cow.
More or less.
On a cow.
On a cow.
It was a moving experience.
Oh, you are mad. You are horrible.
I know,
but when you
love puns, you milk them for all it's worth.
Oh, okay, that might have been too far.
That's even worse.
Hell has a special place waiting for you.
Mm-hmm. Am I steering this conversation in the wrong direction?
Yo, God, stop!
I love this game so freaking much.
All right. Okay, that's the show.